everyone, and welcome to the Ilara Canfield Show, the Awaken to Happiness Now Global Series. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Today we have Dr. Michael Smith with us, and I'm always so happy when he comes on the show because he talks about this subject that is so important. So today we're talking about turning sensitivity into an asset. And it basically, you know, so many of us are empaths, and normally most of the people listening, most of the people in this community are empaths or sensitive to a degree. So today Michael's going to be talking to us about, you know, to discover if you may be an empath, a gifted soul who's sensitive to the energy of others, how to set proper boundaries with others so that you are no longer drained and fatigued. We're going to experience transformational energy exercises to dissolve the negative energy that you may absorb, because we do that on a regular basis, right? We're going to learn how to deepen your connection to your intuition and spirit and learn how to stop absorbing the energy of others. So we're going to talk about all of that. And, you know, there's always so much more that we discuss when we get together. And for those of you who don't know Michael, for over two decades, Michael has worked to help empaths and highly sensitive people recognize and embrace their gifts. As a trained counselor and energy medicine practitioner, Dr. Michael's global coaching summits have reached hundreds of thousands, and nearly a million people have downloaded materials at his Empath Connection website. The power of his work has led to invitations to speak at the Omega Institute and in documentary films. And Michael's truest desire is to be of humble service in facilitating deep connections to spirit for all empaths and highly sensitive people. So I'm so excited to talk to Michael again. He's been on our show many times before, but always there's always something brand new that I hear or listen or pick up on, you know, regarding being sensitive, being an empath. So I invite you all right now to just open up your hearts and open your minds. Be open to receiving the wisdom and some of the energies that we're going to be receiving during the call today, to really learn more about how you can use your sensitivities as a gift, as an asset to the world. All right, so please open your hearts and join me in welcoming Dr. Michael Smith to the show. Michael, welcome.
Ilara, thank you so much for having me. Welcome to everybody who's listening. So glad to be here today.
I'm so glad, because as I was just telling you, Michael, and I also tell the listeners as well, you know, this topic of being an empath, being sensitive, it's so relevant right now. I was working on the special offer page last night, and my daughter was looking over my shoulder. She's 19. She's looking over my shoulder, and she's looking at all the points, and she's like, oh, Mom, I think I'm an empath. And I just laughed. It's like, because of course you are, you know. So many of us are, especially if you're connected to me. Of course you are.
That's right.
So it was interesting to see her reaction and how she was looking at the points, and it's like, and recognizing them within herself. So that's the first thing, isn't it? It's about awareness of how you may be an empath. So, you know, discovering that you are and what that really means, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and thank you for shedding light on this topic. Probably the majority of people that are listening, when I do these telesummit calls now, it's amazing to me the explosion of interest in this topic the last few years. So it's incredible the amount of awareness that has been shed and light that has been shed on this topic. So absolutely, you know, empaths are a special form of intuitive. We get other people, basically. So we are really good at understanding what other people are going through. If you ever had the ability to just look at someone and know what they're going through, you're likely an empath. If you're very sensitive to your environment, if you're an empath, so we tend to avoid those chaotic environments. If you've ever walked into a room and just sense the energy of the room, and you can tell, you know, something might be a little off in the room, you're probably an empath. We tend to draw out the stories in other people, and so many of us are really good listeners. And if you've ever had the experience of people dumping their stuff on you, leaving a conversation feeling a little bit drained, you're probably an empath. Sometimes some of us physically absorb the energy of other people into our own systems, into our own fields and bodies, and that's an empath trait. And then if you're very easily in touch with your emotions and you tend to cry easily, you're probably an empath. So those are just a small list of some of the traits of an empath, and it's just really a pleasure to be here today to sort of kick the awareness into high gear for those who are just beginning journeys and even those that are a little bit further along their journeys as well.
Now, Michael, you've been on this journey for a while, right? So can you tell us, just briefly share with us a little bit about your journey working in this field, especially with empaths, with sensitives, and with intuition? Because, you know, let's face it, it's not always been easy, right? Being an empath or being sensitive or being, you know, working with energy has not always been easy. I find it's easier now for me than it was before, to be honest, right? But that's because I have the skills and the tools and the resources that I can now use to manage my energy. But like 20 years ago, people may not have known what that meant. Manage your energy. What does that even mean, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, managing the energy is one of the great skills that we all must learn. The journey from becoming an awakening empath to becoming an empowered empath. So those of us who are empowered empaths, we know how to manage, how to cope with our energy. And that's what that's what I do for my career now, is I'm a coach exclusively for empaths and highly sensitive people. I do coaching calls, I do online classes, and the special offer, we have a class we'll talk about later called the Empath Academy, which is a very popular class for 6 years where we learn how to become, to take that journey from awakening empath to empowered empath. And so basically when I got started out doing this, I didn't realize I was an empath until I was about 33, I think. But like many empaths, I was an empath from the time I was born. I just didn't know it. Mm-hmm. So I could look at someone when I was, you know, I remember 7 years old, looking at someone and seeing this man at a party that I was at when I was seven. And it just, I went into the other room and I just burst into tears just from looking at him because he was so sad. So I took that ability, went into the field of counseling, which many empaths are really good at, being the natural listeners. So, and then I went into counseling as a career, and then I realized, though, that counseling was a little, for me anyway, it was a little too academic because I was in the academic side of it. I was in the academia. I was teaching counseling to others, mm-hmm. to master's degree students, and I got a little bit too heady for me, so I left that field and went to Santa Fe and started my healing journey and did Native American ceremonies, got certified in energy medicine, did the Vision Quest, Sundance, Sweat Lodge, all of those sort of ritual rites of passage, and was able to take that knowledge and sort of take that knowledge now and use it to help other people, which is what I do in my coaching career. So, yeah.
Now, you know, one of the things about empaths, so many people think of it as a negative term, right? As if it's not a good thing.
Right.
You know, being sensitive is not a good thing. It's been given a bad rap, right? But it doesn't have to be negative and bad. It can be a gift, right? And an asset.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is an asset. It's a gift. And it's, you know, one of the great, great gifts. If you can understand, let another person know, another human being know, they are understood. That is one of the greatest gifts that you can give another person, I think.
Yeah.
So your mere presence alone, our presence as empaths, the fact that we hold space for other people throughout our daily life in all of the moment-to-moment interactions that you've had. Think of all the things that you've done today. You know, all the interactions that you've had with people, you've likely held space, whether you're aware of it or not, because empaths hold space for others energetically, even if we're not consciously aware of it. We hold space. We let other people know that they're understood. And that is a huge, huge gift. Now, granted, it can be challenging to not have a roadmap for working with your gifts. And that's where many people say, you know, this feels like a curse. This is, you know, I have run an empathic group on Facebook called the Empath Empowerment Connection. And in that group, there are, you know, lots of stories. People share their stories. And one of the most common things that I see is like people referring to their gifts as a burden. Well, it's only a burden to the degree that you think it's a burden. If you believe it's a burden, that's what you're going to attract more of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we want to look at the positive aspects of this as really being something that can really change another person's life. And really, I'm not oversimplifying it when I say that, you know, you can really literally change the course of humanity by all of us coming together and just doing what I believe we were born here to do, which is really to help other people.
Mm. Oh, I agree. And, you know, and like you said, most empaths, you know, we have this gift or capacity for holding space and for listening to others. And so the, you know, people, you know, I think nowadays they just need to be acknowledged and heard. They need to know
yep.
that they matter, right? And so if
Absolutely.
We can just share in that space and let them know that, you know, we're here for you, you know, and do what we can in that way, that is a big help and a big gift for them. But how do we not take on other people's energies? I know for myself, and you mentioned this earlier, but I think I know for myself in the past, I used to take on other people's energy so that I could heal it through my body, through my
right.
system for them. I don't do that as much anymore, I don't think, thank goodness, but
yep.
I used to do that a lot. So I used to have a lot of aches and pains and, you know, all sorts of stuff happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
But how does a layperson, a regular person who is just living their life, how do we not absorb other people's energies? And how do we know it's not even ours?
That's really two questions. So let me see, where do we want to start?
I always ask more than one question at a time. I start asking and then I add a bit more. I do that. I was
yeah. So how do we stop absorbing? Let's start with that one.
Yeah.
Well, first we have to declare that we're not going to do that. First,
mm-hmm.
we have to see that, you know, a lot of times as empaths, we think we're doing someone a favor by taking on their energy. When
right.
in actuality, it may be preventing them from working out their own issues
mm-hmm.
or their own karma, you might say.
Yeah.
So we have to make a declaration to the universe that we're not going to do it. And that is where what I found is becoming – I used to do the same thing. I would transmute for other people, and I don't do that anymore for a variety of reasons. Because
mm-hmm.
once you find activities and practices – such as in special offer, one of the special offers is called the Completed Empath Toolkit. We offer, we're going to do some energy exercises here shortly, and which will allow you to raise your vibration. Once you raise your vibration to such a degree that you actively have worked for a period of time to get your vibration high, then your divine presence alone is enough to not transmute. You'll find that your highest self will actually be doing maybe a little bit of transmuting,
mm-hmm.
but not a lot. So you won't necessarily feel, if there is any transmuting happening, you won't feel it, and you won't be harmed by it. It's an important thing. You
right.
won't be harmed, right?
Yeah.
So where a lot of us get into having, as empaths, we there's a correlation with energy-based illnesses such as chronic fatigue, which is there's a new fancy name for that right now that I'm not thinking of. myalgic something. I apologize. But
okay.
The energy based syndromes. You know, when we as empaths walk through life taking on other people's or sucking in other people's energy like a vacuum,
mm-hmm.
it can affect us through illness.
Yeah.
And so we don't want that. So basically, the first step is to just say, no, I'm not going to transmute this. I ask for this energy to return to the source of its origin
mm-hmm.
and be transmuted. Basically, is a releasing statement that we can do. We can get in the habit of practicing releasing statements. I ask for this energy to return to the source of its origin and be transmuted into the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's a releasing statement that we can use. And then we also declare, I will not transmute energy any longer. You got to tell your highest self and make a declaration that, no, I'm not going to transmute this anymore. And it can take a little bit while to get the hang of it, for your nervous system to get into the habit of realizing that it doesn't have to transmute.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we can also do is raise our vibrations keep raising our vibrations higher and higher and higher, and you'll ultimately come to a point. There will come a day where other people's energy just, it simply won't hurt you anymore.
Right. Yeah, I love that.
Yep.
And, you know, and what's important, what you just said, is about declaring it to yourself and to your higher self. And then once you declare it out loud, you know, Source Spirit also knows, and then it's like a change has been made. But you're right, it affects
yep.
your nervous system slowly. Like, it takes time for it to, for your nervous system,
yep.
your total energy system to adjust to that, because you've been doing it for so long already, right?
Yep. It just takes a little bit of practice and a little bit of time. And I remember when I started to not transmute, I thought, well, maybe I wasn't as effective as an empath anymore. Like, I'm not transmuting. This was part of my identity as an empath back in the mm-hmm. past. I thought, I'm really helping people. This is one of the ways I help, is by transmuting energy. Well,
yeah.
Again, it goes back to that idea that we oftentimes serve people best by letting them work out their own, holding space for them, and yet letting them work out their own healing themselves.
Absolutely.
Rather than us taking on anything, and especially if it involves suffering. You know, we don't want to do that. So it takes a little bit of practice is all.
And so, you know, I'm on these calls, like, you know, a lot, right? So I have these live
right.
calls, I have other live calls that I do, and so on. So, you know, what I do, just to share with everybody, you know, after a call or after a healing session that I do for someone, I will spray myself. I have this Palo Santo spray, but even if I have Palo Santo, I'll, you know, like, sage myself or Palo Santo myself, you know, just to clear my energy field. And I also take sea salt baths. I haven't been doing it here in Canada while I'm on vacation, but when I'm at home, I take sea salt baths just to clear my energy field more deeply, to, you know, if I have absorbed anything from anybody, you know, I can let it go. Do you recommend any other tools like that?
Yeah, I mean, saging and smudging using sage or sweet grass is a nice addition to the Palo Santo. That's probably Empath 101 is making sure that, you know, if you're not smudging, if you're not saging, you're actually doing yourself a disservice, because for an empath to not smudge or sage is like malpractice. we really want to make sure that we're using the sage or using the sweet grass. And I've always been taught that, you know, the sweet grass invites in the good energy and in the indigenous ways, it invites in the positive spirits. And the sage and sweetgrass dries out the negative. We want to make sure that we want to be using that as much as possible. And then in the special offer, there are literally, I've got hundreds and hundreds of ideas and resources for the empath who is just coming to terms with what they can do to help them manage their energy. We've got just literally hundreds of ideas in the special offer.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And because there are different ways to do that, to manage our energy fields. Now, what about, you know, I used to work in the government, the Canadian government, so it was a very toxic environment, you know, to be honest. It was just like constantly drained, constant negativity. So when people are working and, you know, with other people like that in negative environments, or even if your spouse, family members are negative, how do you create boundaries with situations like that, with people like that you can't get away from, right? You have to be with them. You have to be in relationship with them.
Well, first you have to make a declaration that you're not going to, you know, just because we have the gift doesn't mean that we have to use it. Just because we have these skills at being able to hold space energetically doesn't mean that we have to. So in work environments where you can't get away, you want to make sure that you're not going towards or moving towards the other people to further tax yourself. So it might not be necessarily your job to hold space in a work environment, whereas maybe you consider it to be of service to others, holding space outside of the work environment. So END is an acronym for the three choices that we have whenever we're faced with a stimulus. So E is engage, N is remain neutral, or D is to disengage. So we have three choices on that spectrum of polarity, to engage or to remain neutral or to disengage. Now, where some of us get into trouble is we simply do too much engaging. We move towards people when the best thing for us would be to set that boundary, that energetic and psychic boundary of just saying, no, I'm not going to engage. So what I would invite you to do, and this is actually brings up a really good point, Lara, that many of us are chronic people pleasers. We engage out of fear sometimes that if we don't do something or if we don't help, then we'll have shame, or we may be looked down upon, or it makes us less of a person if we don't help. So what I invite each of the listeners to do is, you know, if you fall into that category, if you identify with what I'm saying, you know, like moving a little bit more towards people saying yes a little bit too much, just mm-hmm. place your hand on your gut and ask yourself, you know, ask your gut to show you, or just ask your highest self. You can, it's basically similar. Mm-hmm. You can just ask for guidance and show me where I'm doing too much. Where am I doing too much? And for many of us, something will pop up. We'll think, oh, I'm engaging too much in this relationship with this particular person. I'm engaging too much at work. And then in order to say yes to yourself, setting the boundary, we must say no. We must learn to say no and say it wisely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important and one of the most empowering words to be able to say no and mean it. No
right.
to external demand in order
yeah.
to say yes to ourselves, right? So I want you to just fill in the following blank. I will no longer, and then fill in the blank with your situation, and yes, I will do it out of love for myself. And just repeat that mantra silently to yourself. I will no longer fill in the blank, and yes, I will do this out of love for myself. And that can really help us set that boundary, that psychic and energetic boundary where some of us just simply do too much yes. Because we want to do yes. We get the vibration of yes. We understand what it's like to help, and we want to help. And it just throws us out of whack when we do too much of it.
Absolutely. It's so hard for people to say no. And but we
yeah.
need to think of ourselves as well and put ourselves first. And that includes, you know, our energy field, our system, our emotions, right? We need to put those first
yep.
and see what works for us and what doesn't. So
absolutely.
Here's an interesting question kind of related to this, because, you know, we're talking about being in relationship with people, engaging with people. And some people you have to engage with. Let's say you're married to somebody, right? You have a partner that you sleep with. How do you not mix energy while you're sleeping next to a partner? You know, because sometimes the energy may be like, I don't know, it's like different, right? And so they
yep.
may not be getting the proper sleep. What do you do at nighttime?
That's really a big question. It's one that I think is we don't talk about enough, so I'm really glad you brought this up, is that we have this in the culture. There's this belief that we absolutely must sleep a 24/7, well, not 24/7, but every night.
Mm-hmm.
We must sleep every night with our partners, our chosen partners. And what we're learning as empaths is for a lot of us that doesn't work. That model does not work because we wind up being influenced by their sleep and slight movements or slight, you know, some of us are so sensitive that even the slightest movement will waken us up and
mm-hmm.
will cause us to get not very good sleep. So what we want to do as empaths is really be bold and say, hey, what am I realistically willing to, you know, am I willing to sacrifice a quality night's sleep to be with my partner? That's a question that each one of us must answer and ask. But I just want to get people thinking about, you know, if you haven't thought about, you know, there's a variety of creative ways that if you do want to sleep with your partner, that you can still do that and not sacrifice as much a quality night's sleep. So maybe you can, as a compromise, you might decide to sleep in another room, for maybe one night a week, two nights a week, something like that. You know, and but the important thing is to talk it over with your partner and just and let them know that you're sensitive as and use that as a starting point, if you haven't already done so, to talk with them about your sensitivity and the fact that you're an empath and a sensitive person. Because what I found is a lot of us are with partners that don't understand us. They may not be as empathic, they may not be as sensitive. And so this can be a really good, the sleeping arrangements can be a really good way for you to set a good energetic boundary for yourself and make sure that you're putting yourself first, especially when it comes to getting a night's sleep, a good night's sleep, because that's so important to our mental health and physical health as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do that. I mean, my husband, I love him, you know, but he snores. And so some days it's like, yep, I'm going to go in the other room, you know, and he has no idea because he's sleeping away. So he has no idea. And I go in the other room and it's like, yep, that was better.
But that's sometimes we can make that decision. And we don't have to feel, some of us would feel, our automatic reaction would feel a little guilty about that. Well, no, you're putting yourself first. Again, it gets back to having good self-love, good self-care, good boundaries for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that we should really take a hard look at if we haven't yet.
Right, absolutely. Communication is really important. And so for those of us who are really sensitive, you know, like I do tend to tear up at the slightest little thing if I'm watching stuff on TV, which I don't watch that much anymore. And, you know, I couldn't watch violence at all for the longest time. But I just can't, you know. But how, you know, like let's say if I'm much better now, but even when I'm talking to a client or something, if they were telling me something sad and emotional, I would get teary and I would get upset. So how can you turn that off, or how can you control that a little bit more?
How can you control it? You can't really control it. You can find ways to cope and practices to cope. But I guess it kind of gets back also to the idea that if you have a really good sense of self, mm-hmm. and if you have a really good sense of and if you're physically embodied, I find that physical embodiment is an answer to that question as well.
Yeah.
If you have a good sense of self, and if you're physically embodied, and if you're physically grounded, then your ability to get carried away or get caught up in other people's drama or other people's emotions, or what, even if it's something as simple as yawning when another person yawns, your ability to get carried away is less, because you're much more grounded and strong, have a strong sense of self. So I would say just start with a sense of self and really work on building up, you know, where do I begin? Where does the other person end? For an empath, one of our primary journeys is answering the question, you know, what's mine and what's someone else's stuff? And, you know, one of the ways that we can answer that question is by becoming in the classes that I teach, we teach a two-phase process of empowerment. The first phase is becoming a spiritual detective or an energy detective. And we do that by activating the four processes that are symbolized by the acronym OPEN. O-P-E-N stands for the four processes that we use when we answer that question, what reason do I have to feel this way? What reason do I have to feel this way is one of the primary questions we want to ask as an empath. For an empath, the answer a lot of times is no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know that what you're experiencing is actually originating from someone else. But the four processes are observing, perceiving, experiencing, and noticing, O-P-E-N, observing, perceiving, experiencing, and noticing what it is that we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And using that to step into your empowerment journey and using that to really answer that question and becoming a master energy detective is really important to do as empaths and helps us along in our journey towards empowerment.
I love that. And, you know, being an energy detective means being conscious, being present, being aware, you know, and it means being embodied. So one of the processes that I do regularly on every call that I do with clients is about the grounding, being present, embodying, you know, yourself, you know, in your body. Because, you know, you can't really do anything I don't think, in my experience, you can't really manifest truly what you desire if you're not in the body. And so for the longest time, even for myself, I was not in the body. I was outside. I was not happy in the body, you know, all that wonderful stuff. But now it's like I'm so much more present in the body than ever before. And it's totally different. It's a different experience. And that's when you really get to see what is yours and what's not, right? So when you're embodied, you can truly feel what's yours, right?
Yep. And, you know, one of the quickest ways, well, actually, this would be a good time to probably do one of our energy exercises. So we'll do actually two of them. The first one is really a simple one to become embodied and grounded. It is to just imagine yourself stepping into a hollow tree and just feel yourself in the tree and then follow the roots down to the center of the earth. Imagine the roots and visualize them going to the center of the earth. And on the inhale, breathing up from the center of the earth, from the core of the earth, through the roots, through the bottoms of your feet, breathe up this juicy, wonderful, grounded energy from Mama Earth. And just breathe that in. And then on the exhale, letting go of anything you don't need. And just sending it back down in the center of the earth. Anything that is not of the highest good, anything that doesn't serve you, just let it fall away back into the center of the earth. That visualization right there is one that I use multiple times during the day to remember to stay grounded, right? Because, yes, absolutely, Alara, you're right. We can get, as empaths, we can get ungrounded pretty easily. One of the, I would say one of the definitions of being an empath is being a walker between worlds, a walker between the world of spirit and the world of earth, which carry differing vibrations, right? And so many of us can get very ungrounded because we have the ability to float off into those other realms pretty simply and pretty easily, and feels fun to do that. But we have to remember that we must remain grounded. And when we're grounded, we're actually much more in our intuitive power, because intuition cannot work without grounding. We must have, we must be grounded in order to bring information from the other realms back to Earth. So yeah, so doing a simple exercise mentally, which is what we just did, can help you in your journey towards becoming more fully grounded. Another way to ground yourself and to actually this process that we're going to do now is called the Breath of Fire. Some of you may have heard this. If you've heard me do other calls, I've done this on other calls as well. The breath of fire is something that we can do to dump stagnant energy that doesn't belong to us and allow ourselves to become more fully embodied in the physical body. So here's what it sounds like. Very quick, sharp exhalations of breath. And here's how we do it. What you actually want to do is you want to pull in your upper abdominal muscles in towards the spine while simultaneously blowing out air through the mouth. So again, it's pulling in your upper abdominals in towards the spine and simultaneously blow out air. And just repeat that process intensely for, we'll do it in a second here. I'll count out 15 seconds to 20 seconds. Okay, but a couple of things are going to happen when you do the breath of fire. Number one, you may find yourself becoming slightly lightheaded. This is really a good sign, because if you become lightheaded, you're actually literally shedding physiologically from your energy field and from your body. You're metabolizing energy. That's what we're doing. We're working with the fire element in the gut. And so because we're metabolizing that through fire, your body temperature may go up and you may notice a sensation of warmth. So on the count, I'm just going to count out 15 seconds, and you may want to take it for up to 20 to 25 seconds. And again, it's very quick, sharp exhalations of breath. So go ahead and start on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And what do you notice? Now that you've done, those of you that are listening to and following along, what do you notice? You notice a light feeling of lightheadedness, some of you perhaps. Some of you may notice that feeling of warmth. And for some small number, it usually passes within a few seconds. You might have noticed some slight nausea. That's the liver detoxifying and processing energy. So this is something, the breath of fire is an energy exercise that we do in that we teach in order to help you metabolize energy and process your energy that you might have, if you've ever gotten overwhelmed by another person's energy, you can do the breath of fire, and it'll very quickly recalibrate your own energy and get you not only more embodied, but more embodied so that you will not be overwhelmed by another person's energy.
And doesn't it also, Michael, kind of make you feel like, more alive, more clear in the head as
well?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely, because you're bringing in that life force. What you may have noticed is if you did the exercise correctly, you don't have to focus on the inhale. You mm-hmm. just focus on the exhale and pushing the energy out, and your body will naturally inhale more prana, more life force, more chi into the body. And so, yes, the breath of fire comes out of a yogic technique that allows the more, and you just will naturally feel much more uplifted instantaneously. And you can. This is something you can practice. It's, again, it's one of those vibrational raising activities that, when practiced, it'll allow you to raise your vibes more and more the more that you do it.
And I was going to say, for me, when I do exercise like that, I find I can see better. I can see more clearly. It's like there's less pressure, I guess, in my head, right? So that I can actually.
Yep.
See better, which is weird. I wouldn't think that, but yeah, I can see more clearly now than I could just a few moments ago. I love it. I love these types of exercises because it really shows you right away how you are affected by the energies, how your body is reacting to the energies and then to these processes, and you can sense the change immediately.
Yeah, and let's do it. Let's do another one if we have time. Do we have time to do one more?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's do a vagus nerve exercise. We work with the vagus nerve to, again, become more embodied and to activate the – we'll use this exercise whenever we become – we can use this exercise whenever we become overwhelmed with another person's energies, because what's going to happen here is we're going to activate the relaxation response and activate the parasympathetic nervous system in just a moment, which reduces body inflammation and reduces the stress hormone cortisol. So I want you to think of something that you'd like to let go of. So this can be a belief, it can be a thought, it can be a feeling, something that mildly is annoying to you maybe, mildly frustrating, that you'd like to let go of. And when you think of it, I want you to rate yourself before we begin on a scale of 1 to 10 on how much discomfort you feel in your heart area. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most amount of discomfort, 1 being the least, rate yourself on how much discomfort. When you think of this thing that you want to let go of, how much discomfort do you feel? And if you don't have anything, that's fine. Just rate yourself, just get a baseline rating of how you feel in the heart area right now and rate yourself, okay? And then we're going to invoke two exercises that invoke the vagus nerve. Again, this invokes the parasympathetic nervous system, which is reduces the body inflammation and activates the relaxation response. So the first way that we do this is by making what we call a fake smile. This is pulling the cheeks back in a state of tension for 3 to 4 seconds and then relaxing. Okay, so go ahead and pull your cheeks back. Hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4 in a fake smile and then relax. And then do it again on your own timing. Pull those cheeks back in a state of tension for 3 to 4 seconds, and then relax. You may want to activate the eyebrows as well and get the eyes involved. All of the facial muscles should be in a state of tension and then relaxation. And that's the fake smile. And notice as you do this how this changes what you feel in your heart. For some, get instantaneous shifting of what you've felt. And you may want to re-rate yourself now. On a scale of 1 to 10, did anything shift there when we did that fake smile? And now we're going to do the lower jaw movement. So what I'd like you to do is, again, think of the thing that is frustrating you, rate yourself, and then we're going to ask you to take your lower jaw, move it as far as it'll go to the left, hold that in a state of tension for 3 to 4 seconds, and then relax. and then move your jaw as far as your lower jaw as far as it'll go to the right. This is an awkward, I get it. This is, most of us have never done this movement before. It can be a little awkward at first. So move it as far as it'll go to the right, hold it in a state of tension for 3 to 4 seconds, and then relax. And then on your own timing, move it back to the left, state of tension for 3 to 4 seconds, and then relax. And then back to the right again, 3 to 4 seconds, and then relax. And then do it one more time. And then notice how you feel. Do you feel a shift in your heart? Usually it takes two exercises to get a shift to occur. And you'll notice your body prefers one or the other. I like the fake smile. You may prefer the jaw movements.
I like the fake smile too.
Yeah, I use that all the time. I'm constantly, if you saw me when I'm with a client, it's hilarious because I'm constantly doing that. I'm on the phone with a client doing my fake smile, and the client has no clue that I'm doing it. If they saw my face, they would be having a good laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you notice there? You know, just think of you, ask yourself, what did you notice? What did you feel? What did you feel the shift? For most of us, you probably noticed a slight shift, at least minimally a slight shift. And those are the vagus nerve exercises. And you can use those, again, to become embodied in your physical body. And that is the kind of vibrational raising activity that is in both special offers. If you decide that you're interested in signing up for the Empath Academy, the class, we teach three energy exercises per week, per class. So we've taught two tonight thus far, and you get three a week in the class. So that's one of the benefits, one of the many benefits of the Empath Academy. And then in the Empath Toolkit, there are, again, getting back to this idea that the part of the toolkit is exercises that you can do on your own. There are multiple exercises that you can do on your own in your own time, learning through the toolkit itself, about additional energy exercises that you can do to raise your vibration so that you won't be harmed by anyone else's energy.
And you know, and that's what's important is having access to these tools, different resources, different techniques, so that you can try them out and see which one resonates with you more. You know, so like I was saying on a call earlier today, I said, you know, be a scientist, be an experimenter in your life, you know, experiment with things and see what works for you. See what you like better. You know, each person is going to like different things. So you have hundreds, like you said, of different techniques and exercises and processes that people can use to manage their energy fields and manage their sensitivities. And that's how we become, like you said, empowered, you know, an empowered empath. I love that.
Yep.
Because it's so true. It's so important. Instead of suffering, because it kind of is suffering if you're not doing anything with it and you're just, you know, complaining about something and not knowing even what to do, you know, you're kind of not at ease, right?
Right. Absolutely. And we want to become empowered and at ease. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So someone is asking a really good question. Kat is asking, what does it feel like to an empath who is fully empowered in contrast to, you know, that spongy feeling? When you're not empowered.
Oh, what does it feel like? It's heaven, because you're at ease in your body, and you feel like, I know for myself, when I'm at my most empowered, I feel like I can just, like, I just want to, I feel so strong and full of confidence that I can take on the world. I mean, I don't actually take on the world, but that's what it feels like. So
right.
It's a feeling of absolute, I think, I don't know about you, Alara, but you can, for me, it feels like confidence.
Yes, confidence and, you know, like anything is possible, right? So it really, you know, when you are in your power, when you are embodied, you know, in your body, and you just feel so much at ease, and you feel like there's nothing that you can't do. You know, it really does feel like that, to be in that state, because that is your true and natural state. You know, you can live from that state and function from that state on a regular basis more and more when you start using the tools to help you, you know, to assist you. So yeah, great question, Kat. Thank you. Just my just my notes here for a second. Yes, I was going to say, what are the worst things that sensitive people, empathic people can do that might actually make the situation worse? And I'm thinking, what could they possibly do to make their situation worse? Is not using the tools and the resources, you know, not using the processes and the techniques. I'll let you answer.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, absolutely not using. And what one of the ways that we ignore are the resources available to us is we find an addiction to run away from the sensitivity. So what I find is the biggest addiction that we are that we have as empaths is those of us that are just awakening up, or maybe not fully yet empowered yet, is that we find an addiction to run away into our heads. Too much overthinking.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest addiction I find, is just overthinking. So what we need to do is find exercises and practices that will get us back fully physically embodied. And when we become physically embodied, the ego chatter stops. There's a direct correlation between the degree of between physical embodiment and mental chatter. Mental chatter is reduced to the degree to which we're physically embodied. So one of the ways that we can put this into practice is just rub your fingers together and see if you can capture the feeling, see if you can isolate the feeling of your thumb. Rub your pointing finger and your thumb together. Your pointing finger and your thumb, and see if you can isolate the feeling of your thumb. The top of your thumb being rubbed. And then once you've captured that feeling, switch it and get the bottom or the top of your finger, your pointing finger. Feel that, what that feels like.
Yeah.
Okay, you got that?
Yeah.
And so where did your ego go when you did that exercise? Well, it got out of the way. You became physically embodied, and it can be something as small as rubbing your fingers together, or rubbing your hands. Just rub your hands together right now and invoke the fire spirit. Rub your hands together, captures a feeling of warmth, and it invokes the fire energy elemental. And when you do that, you're actually becoming more physically embodied, and then there's less room for ego. So that's one of the ways to combat that addiction, I guess.
And that is a big one. And I was thinking earlier today, another, you know, some of the other addictions that I've noticed, not for myself per se, but for other people around me, is that these wonderful smartphones are great for some things, but they're not great for other things, you know? It's like my sister and my brother-in-law, they're constantly on their phones looking at something, whether it's social media, of like Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is, but they're constantly on it. And so if they're constantly doing that, or watching TV, or, you know, they're not being present. And my sister and brother-in-law, they both drink a lot. So, you know, that's part of their not wanting to feel, not wanting to sense and perceive. You know, and it's like, you know, you're kind of hiding. And I know when I was younger, I used to read all the time. You know, and again, that was the same thing. It was like I was running away into the stories, you know, instead of being physically present, embodying, you know, who I was really in this reality.
Yeah. Those are all really good examples. I've noticed similar things, that the phone and television can be used as great distractors from our true selves.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things to become fully embodied and fully empowered, is to be become embodied to the present moment, and not having to be taken away into our heads, which is what the television and the phone does. I find that it activates, it puts us in a state of ego and small mind, as opposed to the connection that we get from big mind when we're fully embodied and present in whatever it is that we're experiencing on a physical and spiritual level as well, those other bodies, activating those other bodies as well.
Absolutely. So there's different ways that we do it, and I just wanted to point out that some of you may be doing some of these things, like, you know, on a regular basis, not realizing sometimes how distracting they can be, you know, and sometimes you go on Facebook for 5 minutes and you end up there for an hour and not knowing why, right? And it's like, what was I doing here? I've done that. It's like, I came on here to do something and I've totally forgotten, totally got distracted. So Michael, I wanted to take a few moments to talk about the two different special offers that we do have. We've touched on them briefly during the call, but I was hoping you could take us through them. So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. And those of you who are on the phone, you can go to awakentohappinessnow.com/Michael13. Just going to open it up here myself. So we have two special offers, Package A and Package B. And Package A is the Complete Empath Toolkit. It's total value is $1,800 and normally sells for like a $147. And we have it here today discounted at $77. And there's like beyond huge value for somebody who, especially is just beginning, or also for people who they know they're empath, but they're still struggling with how to function as an empowered empath. It can help you to get those tools and resources, and I'm sure a lot more. And then there's Package B, which is the Empath Academy, which Michael will talk about, is a training, I think, 4 or 5 weeks in June. So take it away, Michael.
Okay. So, yeah, the Empath Toolkit is a comprehensive system. It integrates and synthesizes all aspects of processes that are tailored to an empath's unique issues and wiring. And so these are 3 ebooks and 8 hours, or 7 hours rather, of audio instruction that'll help you to learn coping techniques so that you're not overwhelmed, being able to dump energy, really step into your self-worth to value yourself for who you are as an empath and see it as a gift, crack the code and overcome addictive behaviors, unlock what's been keeping your physical body fatigued and maybe even overweight, ditching energy-draining relationships, attract healthy and loving partners, tap into divine, unending source of guidance, and really realize that being an empath is a blessing, finally. So that's the Complete Empath Toolkit. The Complete Empath Academy, option B, is 4 weeks of class and ceremony. It's spiritual ceremony and a class kind of combined. So we have 90 minutes of lecture and discussion, and then about an hour worth of personal coaching each week. So it's 4 weeks, and it's done over a teleseminar line for 3 hours a week. So it's very intensive. You get 12 hours of power-packed instruction for the entire month, and it's going to allow you to help you find your tribe. You're going to make lifelong friends. That's one of the things that people love most about the Academy is we get a good group of, you know, between 10 and 20 empaths together every class. It's small enough where you can really learn about the other people on the line and really make some lifelong friends. Space will be held for you energetically. Participants will be randomly chosen to receive a personal 30-minute coaching session each class. And so if you're one of the ones chosen, you get the space held for you energetically, where others will hold you and provide you what we call mirroring feedback. You're going to get the opportunity to practice energy exercises each week to dump that stagnant energy that you've taken on from others. You're going to learn to vocalize your truth and energetically clear the throat chakra, the throat chakra being one of the areas that is metaphysically, I find, is tied to being an empath. We're being asked to vocalize our own truth. And you're going to work with structured structured exercises to tap into your intuition, enhance that spiritual connection that so many of us are longing for, that deepening the intuition. We've got really some novel exercises in the Academy, one that we do outside of class, and every week we do an exercise with the to build the intuition so that you'll get to where you want to be in terms of accessing your highest self and your potential. So, yeah, that's the Empath Academy. And so Complete Empath Toolkit is option A and the Empath Academy option B.
Beautiful. And so we do have the Empath Academy. There's a two-part payment plan, so you can pay half now, half in a month. if you'd like to take advantage of that. So both offers, all three, I guess you could say, are available at awakentohappinessnow.com/Michael13. And it's something that, you know, in this reality nowadays, more and more, you want to be empowered. You want to be able to function at a level where you have more ease in your life and start to create what you desire. And sometimes when you're constantly being burdened with other people's energies or just taking on other people's energies or so on and so forth, not managing your own energy, it's difficult. It is a challenge. So these the Academy and the Empath Toolkit can help you to bring in different processes and techniques to help you to manage that so that you can thrive and be empowered instead of just, you know, struggling a little bit. Because I know I used to struggle with my energy 10 years ago. You know, now it's like much better, you know. But it helps to use the technique, to use the processes, to use the tools and resources so that you can be the that empowered self that you are. And know that it's a gift. Know that it's an asset. It's not a liability. It's not a curse. It's not something bad. And so I wanted to just talk about quickly. Let me see if we missed anything. Oh, because this is such a huge topic, isn't it, Michael? This being an empath.
It really is.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's such a important topic now, and so many people are coming to see themselves as empath. I'm finding that the level of awareness is really exploding and just exponentially.
Absolutely, and you know, with the energy shifting on the planet, we're receiving all sorts of new energies all the time. It is time for us to up-level ourselves so that we can move forward with ease and grace to create that life that we desire and to start manifesting, you know, more of what we like, you know, instead of being, you know, buffeted around by the system, right, by the energies and so on and so forth. So it's like, this is the time to take charge of your energy, take control of your energy, manage it, see what's going on, be aware, be present. Be conscious of it and know that it's a tool that you can use in your life to empower you. So, was there any, do you have any last words of wisdom for us today, Michael, before we go?
No, just encourage the listeners to just find a process that works for you, work it into your daily routine, keep raising those vibes, mm-hmm. using those processes, whether it's through the special offer or whether it's through something else, to just find that practice and tap into that wisdom of raising your vibration, engaging your body, and becoming physically empowered so that you will be the best version of you as possible.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for your questions. I really appreciate those, you know, and so helpful. So they brought us, you know, brought it even more for us to understand about being an empath, being a sensitive, and how it is a gift, you know. So thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Continue to live your life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Sending you all much love and blessings always. Bye for now.